Hey, Open Mic Podcast listeners. Want to share your opinions, give me feedback, or tell me what you're thinking? If you do, send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio that might end up in future episodes of the podcast. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform that I use to make this show. Here are some things that I would love to hear from you. What questions do you have for me? What did you think of the episode? What did you think of the topic? Who should I interview next? Make up a theme song. I don't know. Do your best impression of me. I'll see all of your messages and I might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send me a voice message right now from wherever you're at, wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in my show notes and I can't wait to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to the Open Mic Podcast. Until next time, cheers and be well and enjoy today's episode.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
Hey everybody, happy Friday. Welcome into another edition of the show. It's good to be here with you. This is episode 133 of the Open Mic Podcast. You're listening to it live, streaming at the Bay Area studios. And today's guest is Ty Crandall. He is a business credit expert. He is the founder of Credit Suite, an awesome team who helps businesses get the credit that they need and they deserve, and takes the scariness, I guess you could say, out of credit and just all kinds of really cool things. And we're going to talk to him today about that, real estate investment, building credit, how all of that works, credit scores, what to be aware of when applying for credit, all of those things. It's going to be a fantastic conversation. Super excited for you to check it out. Be sure to follow us on social media if you don't already. Check out our website, theopenmicpodcast.net. All of those places that you could ever want to learn more about us, be sure to do that. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. It's just an absolute honor that you want to be a part. Now, I have to tell you something that's absolutely insane. So our show is heard, I apologize, my voice just cracked there. It's heard everywhere. And sometimes the show will chart on different places, but something crazy happened this week. So the show, fortunately, has charted on Apple Podcasts and personal journals, like in the U.S., right? Well, sometimes it will chart other places. And I use this company called Chartable.com that tells me how many people listen to the show, where they listen, all of those sorts of things. And it's kind of geeky information, but it's kind of fun, too, because it just gives you a heads up to know how people are listening. So I was getting my email this morning and I got an email from Chartable, and actually yesterday too is when I first noticed this, is that somebody, or somehow, I don't even know how to really explain this honestly, but our show, my voice keeps cracking tonight. I'm getting over a stomach bug, I apologize. So I found out that our show was charting in Egypt of all places. It's crazy. Now, the fact that somebody wants to listen to this show anyway is cool. But the fact that they are listening all the way in Egypt is just mind-blowing. I don't even know what time zone that would be at this point. Honestly, I have no idea. I've spoken to people in England. I've spoken to people in Switzerland, Australia, Asia, Mexico City, the Philippines, everywhere. But Egypt, that's mind-blowing. So if you are listening and you are from Egypt, I would love to hear from you. I would love to know what your name is, what you do for a living, all of that. The show's charted in Egypt now 2 days in a row, which is cool. So it's awesome to know that our show definitely has a worldwide reach. But if that's you, email me openmicguest@gmail.com and our email will actually be in the show notes. I would love to hear from you, your story, all kinds of cool stuff, anything you want to tell us. If you listen to the show anywhere, really, I would love to hear from you. openmicguest@gmail.com. So without further ado, Ty Crandall, welcome into the show. It's good to have you.
Brett, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so you are a business credit expert and you do a lot of different things. So I have a lot of questions to ask you. But before we get started and all that, what is it that you do exactly as a business credit expert? What is that?
Well, what I really do is, and what we do as a company is, you know, we help business owners get capital. And we do that three different ways. We help them improve fundability. Basically, this is the criteria that lenders are really looking at to approve you. And if you know that criteria and can then meet that criteria, then you have a significantly better chance of getting approved or know you can qualify before you even apply. Then we also help with building business credit. This is credit that's linked to a business EIN number. It's not linked to an owner's social security number, doesn't require a personal guarantee, doesn't require a personal credit check, and it helps somebody get more money in financing, helps them get better terms, and gets the most amount of money in financing when that business credit's established. And it also gives a way for somebody to get money even if they can't get other kind of conventional financing. And then we also help with business loans and credit lines. So we work with over 1,000 lenders. We work and believe in taking all legitimate funding options and just putting them in one place to make it easy for an entrepreneur to access all the capital they need in one place. So really, that's the best definition of exactly what I do and how I do it.
So how did you get into that particular business?
Well, I've been in financial services for about 18 years, and I owned a mortgage company when the whole mortgage industry collapsed, and I went down with that. You know, I made mistakes. Wow. I personally guaranteed things. I had credit for the business that reported on my personal credit reports. So what happened was when the business kind of started to falter, we started to go late on some of the business accounts. What happened was at the time I thought, man, I have, you know, 100, 200,000 in available credit. So like I'm good through this. But when those accounts were on my personal credit report, then my existing credit issuer saw them. They lowered all my limits to what I owed. That crushed my consumer credit scores, removed all my available credit. And then as we defaulted and I personally guaranteed that debt, they literally came in and took all the assets, the money out of my personal bank accounts. So I saw this firsthand. Like, here it is, the business debts ruined my personal credit, took away all my available credit, and then to make matters worse, because I guaranteed it, they took all my personal liquid funds I had too. And it just pushed me almost to the brink of personal bankruptcy. So, you know, I would start a new consumer credit company post-economy, and a lot of people would ask me about business credit. I didn't know much about it. I looked, I couldn't find anything about it. There weren't companies offering it. And so then the more I looked into it, the more I realized, like, if I would have known about this, I could have avoided all these problems that stemmed from personal guarantees and using business credit on my personal credit report. And so I just kind of decided in that moment that I was going to become an advocate, that I was going to learn how this process works, and then in real time, turn around and teach other people how it works. So as a community of entrepreneurs, we could all gain that knowledge and be able to separate liability and obtain business credit.
So is it possible, say, for an entrepreneur who doesn't have a lot of credit or no credit at all, to get a business line of credit from your perspective?
Sure. I mean, look, lines of credit are what everybody wants, and they're one of the hardest kind of credit you can get. You can go to places like Fundbox. Fundbox has really nice credit lines that are easy to qualify for if you have some consistent revenue. But what we're really big on doing is helping a business build its own credit profile, its own credit score. Then that credit profile and score is used to primarily get more credit cards than lines, meaning that you're getting a $20, a $40, a $50,000 Staples credit card, an Apple, and a Visa card, and a MasterCard. Those are easy to get without a personal guarantee, without a personal credit check, just building business credit. And then as you establish business credit, it opens up the door for more financing and helps make it easier to get the credit lines and loans and the other kind of financing that's out there.
Very cool. So I guess that leads me to my next question. How does a realtor or an investor, so to speak, start a business credit profile and score from the ground up?
Well, I think in real estate, agents and investors account for two of our top five industries. So we're helping a lot of people in those industries because the first thing that they want to do is want to set up their own business entity. And a lot of agents are now doing that. And so it really becomes important that you set up an entity the right way, that you have a business address. You're not using a home address. You're not using a PO box UPS address. You're using or maybe a virtual address even, that you're getting a business phone, that you're getting the necessary licenses that you need, that you're setting up a corporation preferably or an LLC, you're setting up your entity. So the very first stage is to set up all of that credibility to make sure that you're as lendable as possible. Mm-hmm. And then there's a few different ways you can go get initial credit that reports on those business credit reports to start building that credit profile and score.
So let's say somebody has done all that, but their credit has been damaged, so to speak, for whatever reason. I don't know. There could be a million different things. What is the best process to fix that business credit as quickly as possible?
Well, what we find is that most people don't have negative business credit when they think they do. Here's how the system works. In the consumer world, we're very used to, I make a mistake, I go late on payments, it hurts my credit score. But in the business world, what happens is the fact that you don't have business credit makes you inherently extremely high risk. So about a year into your business, or when you file those annual reports with the Secretary of State, what happens is then when Experian and Equifax know your business exists, they know your name, the business name, the address, and they know your SIC code, they create a credit report and score for you and immediately issue you a failing score. So they have a score, for example, called the Financial Stability Score, which literally depicts your risk of filing bankruptcy.
Interesting.
And you're immediately given about a 6 score, with 100 being the highest and 0 being the lowest. So what happens is these bureaus automatically populate reports. You're given failing scores. And then even though there's no credit, and a lot of people come to us and freak out because they're trying to get a loan, they're trying to get a credit card, they're trying to get a credit line, and they're told their business credit's bad and they don't qualify. So 9 out of 10 times, we don't find people with challenged business credit. And if they do, you can go to iUpdate with Dun & Bradstreet. You can go to Experian and Equifax Credit Monitoring Services, and you could dispute those items fairly easily. But majority of the time, it's not negative. It's the fact that there's no credit that causes the bad score. Then it's a matter of getting some positive credit that reports on the reports, and that will immediately reverse that bad score to good as long as those accounts that you get are being paid as agreed.
Wow. So interesting. I didn't even know that the two worlds were completely separate. I figured personal credit and business credit kind of melded together, but that's not necessarily the case, correct?
No, it's not the case at all. And I think that what you believe is what a lot of us believed. You know, I found myself owning a consumer credit business and didn't know any of this. And that's when I knew the system had to change. Education had to be out there. But the reality is, consumer and commercial credit are very similar in ways and very different in others. The fundamentals are very simple. You start with no credit, you get credit. The more credit you get, the higher your limits get, the more types of financing become available. That's exactly the same. But there's a lot of differences too. You know, with corporate credit, your scores are based on how you pay. So all you need to do to get good scores is get accounts and pay them as agreed. Of course, the consumer world, there's 5 aspects to FICO score and it's convoluted. So there's a lot of factors involved. Business credit's super fast to build. You know, this is credit you're able to start getting immediately, and then you're able to get revolving credit about 30 or 60 days later. You can get $50,000, $100,000 in credit within 6
wow.
months. Consumer world, FICO won't even give you a score unless you have credit for 6 months. The limits on business credit accounts are substantially higher than consumer. So, you know, per SBA, the limits are 10 to 100 times higher on commercial credit than consumer, which makes sense because businesses spend more money than consumers. So there's a lot of similarities and there's a lot of very big differences that make business credit easier to obtain, faster to obtain, and put a lot of capital through business credit in business owners' hands.
So there is this saying out there, and I want to ask you about this, that cash is king, but credit is power, so to speak. Would you consider that to be true for just, let's say, the average listener who may be joining in or the average entrepreneur listening right now, that it's easier to just do everything with cash? Or does there come a point where you just absolutely have to have credit at some point?
Look, the reality is that Apple borrows billions of dollars, and yet they're sitting on billions of dollars in cash. Walmart's the number one retailer in the world, and 80% of the products that they sell, they buy on credit. They literally go to Bounty, they buy paper towels on credit, they put the paper towels on the shelf, you buy them, they take your money, and they pay off the credit. This is more cash injection through business credit into Walmart than all shareholder value combined. So the reality is the big guys get it. It's not about cash. It's about being able to use other people's money to be able to grow and scale faster. Every one of the largest publicly and privately owned companies does exactly the same thing. If I pull Dell right now, I'll see 150 trade lines with Experian. If I pull Apple, I'll see something similar. If I pull Walmart, I'll see over 500 trades. These companies are as big as they are because they're very good at using other people's money. And looking at tens of thousands of credit reports in my career, I can tell you that nobody wants to address credit until they need it. And
right.
then it's like too late. I get to process. You have to build it. You don't want to wait till you need it. But eventually, almost every business runs into a brick wall where if you haven't established credit, you're going to run into a brick wall and have to do it to get the money that you really need to be able to scale.
Why do you think it is that people are so afraid to look at that?
I think Dave Ramsey. I mean, it's not Dave.
Interesting.
You know, it's that we have this education as consumers that debt is bad, that credit card debt is bad. Don't get me wrong, I don't carry credit card debt. I mean, I think it's insane. But the reality is, as a business owner, it's just you have to flip a switch. It's a different world. In the business world, you're going to grow a lot faster and a lot bigger if you're using OPM, if you're using other people's money. So it's this whole idea as consumers we're trained that borrowing is bad and debt is bad. And as business owners, it's hard for people to make that shift to understand that it's exactly the opposite in the business world. The business world is about borrowing. The business world is about venture capital. The business world is either about debt or equity. Almost every company that becomes $5, $10 million, they're using one of those two. Mm-hmm. They're using debt or equity to be able to get there.
It's interesting that you mentioned Dave Ramsey, because I've gone through his Financial Peace University, and it definitely helped me in a lot of ways. But as somebody who is trying to build a business, how do you get around not borrowing money, right? You know, if you're a business owner and you need to buy something, how do you not use credit? You know what I'm saying? Like, not that many people are going to have that much liquid asset lying around to buy, I don't know, a new laptop or, you know, office furniture. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate your honesty and candor in that. It's not him, but it's that whole idea of credit is evil. And I agree with you. I don't carry credit card debt either. But I do have a line of credit that I need just in case something happens, like to buy new podcasting equipment. If my microphone takes a dive or my computer takes a dive, well, then I'm stuck because I have to be able to get a new system up and running. So if I'm interviewing someone like you and I don't have a system that operates, you know what I'm saying? So I appreciate your truthfulness on that. And it's not him necessarily, but I think you're right. It's the idea of, you know, credit is evil and you just got to pay cash for everything. But I don't think everybody necessarily has that particular option, right?
Yeah. It's just not applicable in the business space. You know, the reality is that the majority of businesses fail because of lack of access to capital per SBA. The owners are making mistakes, unexpected things happen. And when you don't have revolving credit available to fall back on, well, then you're stuck. And a lot of people, then that's the end of their business. So look, loans are a different world. You know, when you have to start paying payments on the money you borrow, well, then you need to put that money that you borrow to use right away. But when it comes to credit cards, when it comes to credit lines, why would you not have it available? It just doesn't make any sense, because even if you're paying cash, you can still put that stuff on credit, build your commercial credit history, which makes you more lendable, get better rates and terms on financing, and then just pay it off. You don't pay interest on it. Sure. If you're paying it off. And this is exactly what we do. We don't need to spend anything on credit, but we still buy everything on credit, right? And then we pay it all off. And then that's helping us get credit on our credit report for the spending that we're actually doing. And that's really important. And that's what helps us get the most money. It's what helps us get $100,000 plus credit lines on a whim when we want them. That's really what's important to being able to make sure that when you need money, you have the commercial credit report, the things established to be able to go get it.
So there is a book out called Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's by Melinda Emerson. And I'm just actually looking at it at the corner of my eye in my studio here. And that what you just mentioned raised a question. So in there, she talks about everything that's needed to become an entrepreneur. And one of the things that she talks about is that you have to have impeccable credit to even consider being an entrepreneur. Do you find that to be true in your opinion?
I don't find that to be true at all. What I find is that entrepreneurs are inherently risk takers. And so usually a lot of their credit, especially in the beginning years of a business, reflects that. You know, we see a lot of business owners with credit issues coming in because they're risk takers, and that's the personality. And then as they get established in business and start making money, that credit kind of works itself out. And the other thing is that your personal credit was never designed to fund a business. It's just not created for that. You know, one of the core components of credit is called capacity. And consumer credit has significantly lower capacity than corporate credit because it was designed to fund consumers. Like you'll never spend 10 grand at Dell for home computers, but you'll spend that all day long on business computers. So the problem is that trying to use consumer credit to fund a business is just inherently wrong, because you're dealing with things like utilization ratios. That accounts for 30% of your consumer FICO score. So if you're putting credit on your consumer credit reports and you're using that credit, you're crushing your consumer credit scores by trying to use to fund the business. So what I find is this: running a business costs you a lot more money than you ever think it's going to. Almost everything you do costs more, and almost everything takes a lot longer. Like you think something's going to take 6 months, it takes 12. You think something's going to cost $5,000, it costs 15. And so when business owners start to use their personal credit to fund a business, it's the biggest mistake I see. Things take longer for them to make the money they anticipate. It costs them more, and they're trying to use consumer credit to get themselves pulled through, and it creates issues.
Wow. So what are some steps that people can take to build a business credit profile and score?
Well, we talked about the first one, and the very first step is just setting up that credibility. The way I explain it is, think of it like this. Every line on an application means something. So what I mean by that is that they're not just asking you questions to ask you questions. They're asking you questions for credibility. They want to see if you're asking you for a business address, are you using a PO box? Mm-hmm. If they're asking you for a business phone number, are you using a cell phone? You know, these type of things can make you look very credible or not. So when you build the credibility and the fundability, then you're to a point where you can start getting approved for real credit. The next step is you want to get initial credit that reports to the business credit reporting agencies. And there's really a few different ways you can do that. One of the easiest ways is what are called vendor accounts. These are accounts like places like Uline, Quill, Gimplers, Granger. They sell stuff a lot of entrepreneurs need, but the difference is they'll give you credit even when you have none, and then they report that credit to the business credit reporting agency. So these vendors can help you ease cash flow because you're using credit for things you would have used cash for, and then they're reporting the credit, so they're helping you establish initial business credit. Now, the second option is if you have good consumer credit, you don't mind a personal guarantee, we've got a link at creditsuite.com/get funding. There are sources that you can go to that will help you get high limit business credit cards that require a personal guarantee, require a credit check, but they help build your business credit. So you're able to get $50,000 to $150,000 in cash, which a lot of our real estate investor clients use to buy property. Then they're building business credit at exactly the same time. And then the third option is at creditsuite.com/monitoring, which is brand new in 2019. And it gives you the ability to take existing accounts you already have and add them to your business credit report. So you can add your utilities, you can add your water, your electric, your gas, your satellite TV, your cell phone, those things to your business credit report. So three different
Interesting.
Ways.
Wow. So people can use those positive things that they already have to come to your website, Credit Suite, and perhaps apply for a higher level of credit that they're going to need for their business. Very interesting. So what are some secrets to getting approved for a business loan that people can use perhaps that might have personal challenged credit that may not have the high score? I don't know. I think the average mean is like, what, 600 to 700, something like that. But what if they want to apply for a business loan and they have that issue kind of lingering in the background? What are some ways that they, not necessarily hack it, but can sort of use that to get business credit, even if it's a small amount?
So here's the system when it comes to financing. And I consider business financing to be loans and credit lines. When you're dealing with loans and credit lines, it's really called the 3C loan formula. And it's cash flow, credit, collateral. So if you have cash flow, credit, and collateral, you go get an SBA loan. You walk into your bank and you get money. But there's a lot of alternative lenders that will lend you money based on one of those strengths, even if you don't have the other. So let's say, for example, you have a 401k or stocks. You could borrow as much as 90 to 100% of that value, no credit requirements, no cash flow requirements. Even as a startup, you're able to get it. We had a guy that we got $1.2 million in financing. Credit didn't even matter. All we did was look at his stocks and use that as collateral. Then there's the second C, which is credit. If you have good credit or a guarantor that has good credit, then we talked about a program where you could get up to $150,000 in credit lines, cash credit lines, even as a startup, because credit's the driving factor. Then the third one's cash flow. If you have consistent cash flow, you've been open 3-6 months, you're driving consistent cash flow, then that opens up funding options where, again, the other two C's don't matter. So if you have collateral, cash flow and credit don't matter. If you have credit, well, cash flow and collateral don't matter. And if you have cash flow, well, then credit and collateral don't matter. So if you have credit issues, then you just have to focus on another strength, which is typically going to be cash flow or collateral. And then you're able to still get financing based on that, where the credit's not even a concern.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate that information. That's good for everybody listening, I think. And it sort of takes away the myth or the scariness of it, because I think where there's a will, there's a way, so to speak. And you have a book too called Perfect Credit, which I want to talk about, and that can help people sort of figure all of that out in Business Credit Decoded, as well as another book. And I want to talk about those in just a minute here, but I want to talk about the other side of this, real estate investors. You see these commercials on TV, buy, fix, flip houses with no money down. How does that whole system actually work?
Look, I'm not the guru in the real estate space, but I also have a podcast, The Business Credit Financing Show, and I'm blessed to have an opportunity to have a lot of these gurus on the show and figure out what they do and how they do it. And I think they all have different strategies on how they do it. A lot of the cases, you're finding somebody that's desperate trying to sell the house. You're doing, you know, financing with them. You're putting a renter or leaser in there to cover their payment so they don't have to worry about the stress of running the property. But there's so many different strategies these gurus have to be able to get in with no money down or limited money down that I really can't speak to all the specifics because there are so many different strategies that people are using out there.
So there's really no one particular system on how to obtain money to purchase fix and flips. It's just kind of... is it the same thing, or maybe I'm kind of confusing the two? I apologize.
Well, I think a lot of the people that are out there, look, there's a lot of solutions, right? So we have a funding source out there that if you're buying the property right, all they care about is property value. If you're buying the property right, you can get in with no credit requirements and get financing on that property if the property you're buying into has enough equity, right? There's plenty of other options out there where, again, what you're doing is you're dealing with seller financing. So you're expecting the seller to finance the property and basically let you make monthly payments, and you're putting a renter in there and those type of things. When it comes to my world, my world's all about getting investors capital to invest. And we're doing that through that 3C strategy. What is your strict? Do you have cash flow? Do you have credit? Do you have collateral? We're getting credit lines. We're getting loans. We're getting corporate credit. We're getting $20,000, $50,000 Visa cards that you're able to liquidate and use that money to purchase homes or to purchase the property. You're getting you know, credit at Lowe's and Home Depot and labor ready to do the fix part of the fix and flip. So there's a lot of these business funding options that are out there that can help somebody get the money that they need to do it beyond the way that these gurus teach of owner financing, etc.
Very interesting. I love it. And again, all of Ty's information we'll make available in our show notes as well, so you can contact him directly and ask more questions. Perhaps this might raise more than it answers, but I think we've done a great job of just kind of sort of digging up the truth behind all of this, and it's not as difficult as we might seem. So I want to talk about your books, Business Credit Decoded and Perfect Credit. What is sort of, for those who haven't read the books, the overarching theme for those and your hope for people to get out of them that choose to read them?
Well, first of all, it's shameful if people haven't read them. Let's just be honest about that. No, I'm just kidding. I love it. Perfect Credit is just it just decodes the consumer credit system. So what we do is we look at what the bureaus do. We look at how the credit system works. We talk about how the credit bureau's computers works. We talk about disputes. It just lets you see how this whole process behind the scenes works of credit, and then helps you then use those tools and tactics to be able to then create and maintain an excellent consumer credit profile. And then Business Credit Decoded is just that. It maps out this entire process of business credit. We look at the bureaus, we look at their roles, we look at what they do, we look at the scores and how those work, and then the entire process of building business credit to be able to get the most money for the business without the guarantee and without the personal credit check.
So that's awesome. And if you haven't read those, it is a shame because they're great books. I've read both of them. And I have to tell you, it did answer a lot of questions that I had about building a business and that sort of thing. So at the end of the day, what is the best piece of advice, Ty, that you could give to somebody who is starting a business and just feels stuck and not really sure which direction to go as far as the whole credit game is concerned?
Well, I think the very first and most important lesson is get money before you need it, because there's no way you're going to grow and run a business where you're not going to need money. It's impossible. I've never found that scenario yet. So you're going to need money at some point. Get it before you need it. Know that corporate credit can be obtained the minute that you start that business, and get on that right away, because the business credit is going to determine how much money you get, whether you get approved or denied, and the rates and terms you'll pay. So start establishing that corporate corporate credit profile as early as possible that gets you access to the revolving credit you're going to need to grow the business. And don't think that money's not available. Look, you're probably right. You're not going to walk in your bank and get financing because they need those three C's. But there's a lot of other financing out there based on one of those three C's being used as a strength. You need to know that that's available. You need to know that that's possible. And then make sure that you figure out what your strength is, cash flow, credit, and collateral, and start obtaining financing based on that strength so you have the money that you need to get through the down times and to be able to grow and scale the business.
Awesome. And I would love to hear your thoughts here as we wrap up about crowdfunding sources like Kickstarter, GoFundMe for people trying to do businesses and projects. Do you have any sort of opinion on that particular avenue to do that?
Look, I love capital, and I love anything that makes capital accessible to business owners. And crowdfunding platforms like Indiegogo, Kickstarter, these are great ones. My advice there is that, first of all, these aren't for real estate investors, right? These are for people that have unique products, unique niches. I saw one where it was like a box you put at the top of your stairs. You open the box, and it unfolds to be a slide, which is awesome to be able to make your stairs a slide, right? So that's the kind of thing where crowdfunding works really well because it's unique, it's different. People see it, they like it, they share it with their friends. It creates the virality, which is really what makes crowdfunding effective. If you don't have something that's kind of a really different thing, crowdfunding is typically not going to work. The other thing to keep in mind is that crowdfunding works because of you. A lot of people think that they're going to put a crowdfunding platform out there and make it go viral. That's not what happens. Crowdfunding programs go viral crowdfunding campaigns go viral because the person that's promoting the campaign is promoting it. So if you're going to get into crowdfunding, you have to know that the success of the crowdfunding campaign is in large part dependent on your ability to share it with your social network and their desire to continue to share it to their network. It's your ability to really put it out there and promote it socially that actually makes it work. It just won't work if you haven't done that. The second thing that makes crowdfunding effective is lining up donors before you do the project. When we look at the really successful crowdfunding platforms, what's happened is these people went in and got the donors lined up. They made the project. Then the donors start coming in. And what happens is Indiegogo and Kickstarter, just like Facebook, their algorithms read this activity as, okay, this is a popular campaign, and they start promoting it. And that's what helps it go viral. So your ability to be able to share it socially and to be able to line up your own donors beforehand become really important for these other guys' algorithms to understand that you have a hot campaign and make it go viral. The other thing is you need to know about fixed versus flexed funding. A place like Kickstarter has fixed funding, which means if you're trying to raise 10 grand and you raise 9,500, you're done. You don't get
the money goes back to the donors, right?
Exactly. But with flexible funding through places like Indiegogo, well, then if you don't hit your goal, you still get that money. So you need to know the difference between flex and fixed funding when it comes to crowdfunding because it determines if you'll get that money if you don't reach the goal or you won't.
Wow. Well, Ty, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. What are some ways that people can get in contact with you if they want to reach out and have more questions?
Sure. The biggest thing is to go right to our website, creditsuite.com/EIN. And if you go to creditsuite.com/EIN, there's a great guide you can download that actually gives you the detailed steps. We kind of did an overview, but the really detailed steps of building business credit. And then we'll send you emails with information about getting loans, getting credit lines, getting business credit, those type of things as well.
Yes. And I know we mentioned a lot today in the episode, and I promise everything will be available in the transcripts and all of his links will be available as well for you to click on and learn more about all of those awesome things. Also, thank you to Alex over at Interview Connections for making this interview possible today. Thank you so much, Ty, for being on the podcast. I really do appreciate it.
Bro, thanks for having me here. You are an amazing host and I had a great time.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today. It means the absolute world. Ty Crandall, awesome conversation. His information will be available in our show notes. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be blessed. Be safe. Until next time, let somebody know that you love them. Let them know that you care. And we'll talk to you soon.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.